Welcome to our Exile podcast. My name is Solomija Rozlutska and I'm a director of OKU International Office. This conversation is taking place within the Erasmus Plus cooperation partnership project called Exile that is designed to improve the inclusion of Ukrainian and not only refugee students into European higher education institutions. And today we will be talking about very important topic of supporting refugee students in higher education. And today with me as a researcher with hands-on experience studying the needs and challenges of displaced students at European universities. Yulia, thank you very much for being here and good morning.
Good morning, Solomija. Thank you for inviting me.
And to start, could you please share some insight into what inspired you personally to join the project Exile and what kind of activities you were focused on during this project?
Thank you for your question. Well, both you and I, and I think many of our listeners were students once, and I think we remember what it's like to be in a new environment among strangers, where you have to adapt, join the learning process, and solve many issues, sometimes on your own. And now let's imagine that all of this is happening in a new country, in a language that is not always clear, and you're here because you're in danger in your home country. So you fled it because of a danger. And that is a huge pressure that many students around the world have to face. So about me, I personally joined this project because in 2022, when Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine began, thousands of students found themselves abroad, where they had to adapt to life and study to the new environment at new universities, that were not always ready for them. The Exile project was actually an opportunity to help universities in Europe adapt to the needs of refugee students. And of course, my primary interest was about Ukrainian students. But the project's results could improve the experience of other refugee students from countries where war, political or armed conflicts are raging, like Syria, Afghanistan and other countries. So I joined the project as a researcher and started working with my colleagues.
Thank you very much. And next question is about methodology. I understand that this is the topic that is not probably the most exciting one and the most interesting one for a broader audience, but still I think it is quite important. And I know that in traditional sociological research, it is good when you have both quantitative and qualitative data. And did you manage to actually use both those components in this project? And if yes, like what kind of methods did you use in order to, you know, find the proper number of students or the proper type of information?
We actually managed to use both quantitative and qualitative methods. Actually, when we talk about the needs, the challenges, constraints, and other things faced by a certain category of people, it is important to not limit ourselves only to the ideas, our own ideas about the experience of those people. But we need to ask them directly. What was it like? What did you need? What was a challenge for you? And therefore, we divided the research into two stages, as I already told. The first was qualitative, where our university partners and OKU conducted several in-depth interviews with refugee students of different nationalities. Then we analyzed the data, the results of those interviews, and compiled a questionnaire for the second quantitative stage of the research. And in total, more than 200 people who identified themselves as students in exile participated in a survey, and almost 100 people fully completed the questionnaire. So we analyzed their answers. We wanted to know who our respondents were, where they came from, where they are, have been studying, how old they are. And the main questions were about the biggest challenges they faced during their studies and what options and support universities offered them and which of these options they found useful. Actually, each partner university distributed the questionnaire among students. And EFMD also joined in, also distributed the questionnaire. And as a result, more than half of the survey participants are Ukrainians, but there are also representatives from Afghanistan, Belarus, and I think 19 other countries. Half of all participants are students aged from 17 to 20, which means they are mostly undergraduate students in full-time international programs. In general, our idea was to collect information about the needs, challenges, expectations of refugee students of different nationalities, wherever they came from and whatever universities they were studying at.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually saw the list of partner universities that are part of this project, and also EFMD, they have a huge database, yes, of students and universities. So I imagine that you managed to cover a quite big, I would say, research space in this project, which is, you know, very good and excellent in this case. And so talking about those results, yes. So what were the most significant needs, expectations, and challenges you identified or you noticed among displaced students during your research?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the main question. Well, let's start with the challenges. We asked students, what challenges did you face or still face during your studies? And they had to choose the seven most important items from a list. And according to the result, the first challenge on the list, which was chosen by, I think, about a half of all survey participants, was financial issues. And it was followed by affordable housing, feelings of isolation, lack of social contacts, and other options. I can say that it was something unexpected, financial difficulties in a new country, where you did not always expect to be. I think they are completely normal. So we understand the challenges create pressure on students and to prevent them from easily adapting to new conditions, devoting time to their studies, just feeling safe and comfortable. So we need to know what these challenges are. Yeah, that was about challenges. You also asked about needs. Needs actually closely overlap with challenges because satisfying a need is essentially a way to overcome a challenge, such as if you need to know English to communicate with people, free English courses is a way to overcome the challenge of language barrier. So here the question arises, how exactly can your need be solved? And universities can offer different types of support that would address your needs in one way or another. For example, we found out that 60% of participants used some guides or brochures, both online and printed, for new students. And more than half of students received scholarships or free tuition. And also popular choice was activities to meet, spend time, cooperate with students of different nationalities. So these are the ways of support that students mostly used from universities. And about expectations, students, of course, also had some certain expectations from the universities about how they would be welcomed, what would they be offered. And it is important to note that expectations do not equal needs. For example, a person could expect the universities to offer additional academic counseling, for example, but this person did not use it because he or she just didn't need it, but he expected it to be available. In general, according to the results, most participants expected that the university would offer such options as access to international scholarships and internships, some guidelines for new students, free tuition, of course, technical support for the study process, and several others. So we can perceive expectations as how students see the university before they enter in it, what things are just must-haves for students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. I actually, you know, agree that probably the financial part of the questions is usually the most essential one. But also, you know, while talking with some students, just having informal conversation, they were also struggling a lot with a foreign bureaucracy. So usually this is like another thing that is quite, stressful, especially, you know, opening a bank card or something else, like registering yourself in the university, etc. And, you know, based on your research, could you please also provide, you know, key findings or maybe some unexpected results that could help higher education institutions to support displaced students in a better way?
Mm-hmm. To begin with, I would like to point out that any research and reports are only a useful tool, a way to see the situation from a specific angle. Well, no methodology is perfect, and it cannot take into account all the specifics. So my main advice for university is to be sensitive, to the experience of exiled students, to get to know them, to communicate them on an everyday level. We need to understand that people left their homes to escape danger, and in a new place they need a clear understanding of what to do, who to contact, and how to solve their issues, not only academic one, but also just everyday one, where to find a doctor, how the public transport works, what documents to prepare, and other things. And indeed, financial issues have become the leader among the challenges, and financial support accordingly have become a leader among the types of support that could positively affect a displaced student's university experience. But other things are also important. And most of these things relate to information for new students in one form or another. We already talked about printed or online brochures and guidelines. It could be an advisor or a body to help with navigation, the city or campus, or just any other type of structured information on what, where, why, and how to do as a new student. It actually is the main advice, but we also had some pretty interesting findings. I would like to draw attention to the awareness of students about the options available at the university. A university can offer just a whole bunch of different things, options, types of support, and a student can expect certain options to be available, but sometimes students simply don't know that the university offers some things for them. For example, 45% of our participants expected that the university would offer free accommodation for a certain period of time for refugee students. However, only 17% knew about this option. What does it mean? It can be three, I think, different explanations. Maybe universities did not offer it. So students expected, but universities did not offer it. Or students simply did not need it. So they expected, but they did not need it. Or maybe students did not receive information about it from the university. So they expected universities may even have this option, but the students didn't receive the info about it. Here I would recommend universities to explore in their smaller communities what their exiled students know about, and when they don't know about the types of support, about the university which they are entering, and maybe universities can find some new ways to communicate about different opportunities. We talk about what universities should do, but maybe we can also talk about what universities already do good, they do well. So the results show that, for example, more than half of the respondents already took advantage of opportunities to attend different cultural events with other students for a discount. And almost 60% participated in different activities where they could interact with students of different nationalities. The fact that such services are in demand, it showed that universities already taking many important steps for adapting new exiled students and to support the adaptation.
And Yulia, if you could share one essential piece of advice with universities looking to improve their support for displaced students, what would it be?
Essential piece of advice. I think I would recommend universities to pay attention of what exiled students themselves. Exiled students themselves can bring to the student community, to the university community. Maybe they can bring something to the improvement of the educational process of or administrative processes. Why? Because I think we should remember that these students have their own backgrounds. So they came from different communities, and some of them already have experience studying in other universities in different countries all over the world, and they can share their knowledge. Can be promoters of some new ideas, they can introduce other students and teachers, instructors, and administration to their own cultures. I have two examples of from the interviews on this topic. The first one, it was from the interviews with refugee students from France. Refugee students who are studying in France. And they suggested some kind of exchange language learning program. They could practice French with French students, and in return, the students teach them their native languages. So some kind of cultural language exchange. And another example was from Ukrainian students. They said they offered alternative sources of information in their classes, particularly, I think it was international relations and politics classes. So they offered alternative sources on Russian-Ukrainian relations, because they saw that the main sources on information on this topic was Russian literature, and which it's not correct because it shows only one point of view. So I think there could be many different examples where students can bring their own skills, their knowledge, opinions, and changes to the university community. And this resource, it should be used. So I sincerely hope that this research and just the project in general will bring some real benefits. And the advice, so university environment, it just should be sensitive to the needs of students in exile, but at the same time, it should be stable and clear in its processes. And so the students do not get lost, they do not feel abandoned, but rather they get an opportunity to grow and develop in a new environment.
I see. Thank you very much, Yulia, for sharing such valuable insight with us today. So I definitely, yes, agree with you that those you know, those findings are very valuable. And from my perspective, but unfortunately, I can talk only from the perspective of Ukraine. I know that our partners, they did a great job in supporting our students. And I'm also very happy that this project includes not only Ukrainian perspective, but also is trying to take into account other migration crises that are keep happening across Europe and world. And it is indeed very important in nowadays world. So it is clear that understanding and addressing the needs of displaced students is a crucial step toward creating a more inclusive and supporting environment in higher educational system. And we hope, truly hope that today's discussion inspires meaningful action and change. And if you would like to know more information about Exile Project, please go to our website, www.exileproject.org, and follow us on LinkedIn to stay updated and hear more of our new podcast. Take care of yourselves, and thank you.
Thank you.